Hi everyone, I'm Maddie Heim and welcome to Inside Winona. This week our guest is Doug Scholes Carlson of the Great River Shakespeare Festival, which opens its 16th season in Winona this week. Doug has been with Great River for all of its 16 years, coming down to Winona from his home in the Twin Cities. He is an actor, director, fight choreographer, and intimacy director, and he also directs around the country, including lots of opera. But he is the artistic director for the festival here in fair Winona, where we lay our scene. Sorry, couldn't resist. So, Doug, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Yeah. We're just coming into tech for Great River Shakespeare Festival, which is always a really busy time, but it's a really exciting time. We get in the theater, we start to see what all the work is going to look like. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're very grateful that you could come join us today, even during your busiest season. So,
oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I have a kind of a fun question to ask you first, which is, if William Shakespeare was alive today and he based a play in Winona, what are some of the Shakespearean-like elements that you think Winona has that would make it a good setting?
Well, that's a great question. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, okay, so William Shakespeare is, boy, that's such a good question. Shakespeare is such a great observer of humanity, and he seems to have a fascination for all of the different varieties of the ways people live their lives. And I think that's maybe perfect for Winona, because Winona is so unexpected. I mean, last year we needed a hurdy-gurdy player for our production of Shakespeare in Love, and of course there's a hurdy-gurdy player in Winona. A few years ago we needed somebody that speaks fluent Welsh, and of course there's somebody that speaks Welsh. There are artists, there are people that work in industry, there are, you know, there's such a variety of people that I think Shakespeare would be totally fascinated with that, and just sort of describing all the different kinds of people that are there. He was definitely into the sort of major drama, you know, kings and queens and politics and, you know, sort of all of those things. And there's, you know, there's probably, I guess, an element of that going on. But even in the plays where he's dealing with kings and queens, one of the things that is always the hallmark of his plays is that he's interested in the lives of ordinary people. And he's interested in how those people's lives are influenced by the sort of big events in the world. So I think he'd find an awful lot to look at in Winona.
Yeah, I think so too, honestly. When I was thinking about it, there's just so many interesting and odd things here. I'm sure he would have a field day. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. So we're recording on Friday, obviously, but when listeners hear the podcast, it is going to be the eve of Great River kicking off their 16th season. And so we had just talked before this about that you've been there from the beginning,
yep.
From the very first.
Yep.
So what have been kind of some of the biggest changes from the first season until now?
Well, you know, it really just that the festival keeps growing. I mean, that it keeps getting, that there are more and more people coming from further and further away to see the festival. I mean, the festival, when it was founded, was really dedicated to language. And that is still true today, that we're still really interested in telling stories clearly and telling these stories that reflect the human condition really clearly. There's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more diversity in the company now than when it first started. And I think that reflects things that are going on society-wide. We're, you know, we're more established, we're more organized in the way we do things. We're, so certainly everything runs a lot more smoothly than it did in the very first seasons. But amazingly, I mean, Great River started as a really big company when it was first founded. It was, at the time, it was the largest not-for-profit theater company founded in the country within the decade before it was founded. So it really started on a really professional level and acting really professionally. And that's just continued to evolve over time.
Yeah, that's so cool. And it's just so cool that it's, you know, growing every year and making big changes. And yeah, I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain a little bit about what you do as artistic director?
Yeah, well, yeah, as artistic director, so it's my job to plan the season. That's probably the biggest thing, is we're going to choose what we're going to present every season. And then coming out of that, then there's a lot of hiring. We have about 108 people that will come to Winona from all over the country when we're at the height of our build. And all they're designers, they're directors, there's actors, there's technicians and artisans of all kinds. And all of those people have to get hired. So that's a big part of it, and finding the right people to fit in. We're actually right now in the midst of trying to choose our 2020 season. So we're reading lots of, I mean, obviously we're going to start with plays with Shakespeare, and there's only 37 of those. So that's not so hard to choose. But then we're reading all kinds of plays and trying to figure out what's going to fit together and what's going to make an interesting season. What's going to make an interesting season for patrons coming in. 'Cause really what we're looking for in the company is a conversation. That the audience comes in, they will see themselves reflected in the story, and then it's the conversations that happen afterwards. And a lot of times those conversations come from the way the plays interact with each other. You know, for instance, this year we're doing Macbeth, which has a lot to do with justice and retribution. It's that kind of world. And then we're doing Cymbeline, which has a lot to do with forgiveness. So sort of two contrasting worldviews. And each one of those plays on their own is really interesting. But when you see them together, then that becomes it just becomes an interesting conversation that people can have. And that's what we're always looking for as we're fitting that season together is what's going to spark people's imagination? What's going to be exciting about coming to the season?
Yeah, absolutely. So when do you finalize which shows are going to be in the upcoming season? Like, what date do you have to do that by?
It's different every year, but this year the goal is that we will know internally, we'll know by the time we open this year, and then we can do some planning. And the plan this year is to announce on Calathump, which we did. Did we do that last year? We did it last year, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there'll be a fundraising goal for Calathump, and if we raise enough money, then we'll announce what the season is, and then people will know what to expect.
Gotcha. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Macbeth, you mentioned Cymbeline, but what are the other plays that are going to be happening this year?
It's a really exciting season. So Macbeth and Cymbeline, Macbeth is one of Shakespeare's most popular plays. It's done all the time. A lot of us read it in junior high. Like it's just a great play, and there's a reason why it gets done so much. Cymbeline is one of Shakespeare's lesser done plays. It's what's known as a romance. So it fits in the category of these plays that Shakespeare wrote late in his life. It goes in with Tempest and with Pericles and with Winter's Tale. And they're plays that really don't fit as comedies, and they don't fit as tragedies, and they don't fit as histories. They tend to be a lot of fun. They're big, vast stories, and almost all of them deal on some level with grace or forgiveness. So that's our Shakespeare plays. And then we're doing The Servant of Two Masters, which is a play by Carlo Goldoni. And we're doing it in a new adaptation by Beth Gardner. Beth Gardner is the person who directed Midsummer Night's Dream last year. And she has done a ton of work with her company, 3-Day Hangover, in New York on site-specific productions, which means you go into a place that's not a theater. Some of her plays take place in bars. They take place in alternate spaces. So she's done all kinds of work about how the how the audience and the performers interact and how a piece of theater can be more interactive, how it can feel more live. So when you come into the experience, when the audience comes in, they're invited to participate. You're not required to participate. You can sit back in your seat if you want, but you have the invitation to participate in a different way. Much in the way that, you know, if you go to a bar to hear a band play, you're going to talk with your friends, you're going to interact with the band. Like there's just a much more sort of live atmosphere. It's not, you're not expected to sit quietly and watch the whole experience. And most people find that that's a lot more fun. Or for instance, the way you go to a baseball game, that you're really expected to interact. So Servant of Two Masters it's based on the Commedia dell'arte tradition. And Commedia is an old form of Italian theater where the actors would improvise all of their parts. So people would play stock characters. And stock characters are, well, like what you would see in modern sitcoms. So you know exactly who these people are when they come on stage. There's the old father, there's the young lover, there's the, you know, all of these sort of stock characters. And when they did it in Italy, when they did Commedia dell'arte, they would make up the play every time. So people would have a part that they played, and then they would post up what the general outlines of the plot are, and then they would make up the play. And this, our version of Servant of Two Masters, it is all scripted all the way through, but it's intended to feel like we're making it up all the way through. And there'll be a lot of audience interaction. It should be a lot of fun. It should feel very playful. And it's funny all the way through. It's one of the funniest plays ever written. It's really great. Then our fourth play, No Child by Nalaja Sun, is about Nalaja Sun's experience. This is a one-woman show. Melissa Maxwell will be performing it, and Tara Flanagan, who has been in the acting company for years, is directing it. And it's about Nalaja Sun's experience teaching in the New York City public school system. So Melissa will play 17 different characters, including she plays the principal, she plays Nalaja, who is the visiting artist coming in to teach, she plays the teacher, she plays a whole bunch of the students, she plays the janitor who works in the school. So you'll meet all of these people that are in the school. Again, it's really funny all the way through, but it's also really touching. And I think especially for people that have an interest in education and or have either been teachers or are interested in the education system, it's a fascinating look at how the education system works right now. And then our fifth play is a really unusual one. It's called White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. It's by a playwright, an Iranian playwright named Nassim Soleimanpour. And he refused military service in Iran. So because of that, he can't get out of Iran. So he wrote this play that you can do without rehearsal. So the deal is an actor comes on stage and they get handed the script in a sealed envelope. They know nothing about the play at all. And they open the envelope and then they read the play in front of the audience. So audience and actor are experiencing all of this at exactly the same time. And that's really all I know about that play, because I will actually be the first actor to do the play. So I am not allowed to know anything about what's going on.
Wow, that sounds so interesting. So yeah. How do you get in the right headspace to do something like that?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's, you know, as an actor, what your job really to be on stage as an actor is to just be responsive in the moment. That you're supposed to be available to whatever is going on. So I guess to do that play, that's where you have to get yourself in that space at the same time that you're absolutely terrified because you have no idea what's coming next.
Right. Yeah, that's so crazy. Yeah, so I was telling you before that Eileen Muller was our first guest, and she told us or teased a little bit about what that was going to be. And
yeah.
I just think that sounds super cool and definitely something people should come out and see.
Yeah.
Something way different than they've ever seen before.
Yeah, well, and we'll have different company members doing it over the course of the season. So if you see it once and you like it, then you can come back and see another company member do it, because every time we do it, it's going to be completely different. And of course, if you come back and see it again, you'll be ahead of the actor, because the actor won't even know what's going on, and you will know what's coming.
Wow, that is super cool. So they all sound like amazing productions. That'll be really awesome, I'm sure. So let's see. So I last year moved here after the 2018 season was over. I'm wondering, for someone who has never attended, how would you recommend that they tackle the festival?
Yeah, well, you know, the festival is really designed for everyone. So it is designed that anyone who comes in will be welcomed in, and you will be able to have a good time and understand the plays. The plays, Shakespeare was writing these plays for a popular audience. They are very understandable when they're spoken out loud. A lot of us have had the experience of reading a play, like in high school or something, and when you read them off the page, they're hard to understand. They're hard for me to understand, and I spend my whole life doing this. When you see the play, you'll understand it. We do a lot to make sure that people can get over that hurdle. For instance, half an hour before every performance, we have what we call our pre-show conversation. And that's about a 7-minute long presentation by the assistant directors who've been in rehearsal the whole time. They do this very kind of lighthearted presentation that will give you the plot and give you the basic characters and really set you up to understand what's going on in the play. You'll find in our lobbies, our apprentice actor training, people from our apprentice actor training program are there. They understudy the shows, so they have been there in rehearsal all the way through. So if you have questions as you go along, there's lots of knowledgeable people along. And then, frankly, the plays are really, the plays are performed in a way that you can understand them. We spend a lot of time doing text work. So we sit down as a company and we examine every single word that's being said to make sure that we understand it really clearly. And if we understand it really clearly, then the skill that the actors bring and the skill that the designers bring is to tell those stories clearly. Sometimes when Shakespeare is done, it's done with not enough rehearsal time. And then the actors don't even understand the story that they're telling. And then even when you see it in performance, then it's hard to understand. But I think you'll find that the shows in our theater are really understandable. And then on top of that, a play like Macbeth is one of Shakespeare's easiest to understand plays. The plot is pretty straightforward. Unlike most Shakespeare plays, it doesn't have any subplots, so it's really one plot that goes straight through, not a lot of characters to keep track of. The language is very straightforward. A lot of people may have some exposure to it, so that's a great, and it's scary, and it's fun, and there are witches, and there's lots of blood in it, and fights, and yeah, so it's a really fun play to start with. And then Servant of Two Masters, of course, is just going to be fun and funny all the way through. Cymbeline is one of the later plays, so it's a more complicated play, but I think the surprise in it is how much fun the story is and how clearly understandable it is. It's not done very often because the language is complicated, and when that complicated language is not done well, it can be hard to understand. I think what you'll find is it's actually very intelligible. It sounds like people talking. It sounds like very sort of normal conversation. But when you read that off the page, it can be hard to see that. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So which of the shows would you recommend for someone who's like, not so sure on Shakespeare, not so sure on theater, you know, which one would you recommend to hook them in?
Yeah, really depends on what you're up for. You know, if you're up for that sort of big spectacle and the witches and the blood and the everything, then Macbeth is really a great place to start. If you really just want to laugh all night, then come to Servant of Two Masters. No Child is going to be a great one because that's very much in a modern vernacular. So if you're interested in modern, you know, sort of social issues, come to that one. Cymbeline has music in it. It's, you know, again, big, broad, sprawling story. And if you want to have one up on even your friends who know Shakespeare really well, if you tell them that you've seen a production of Cymbeline, they'll be like, wow, you must really know what you're doing. Yeah, so it really depends on the experience that you want. We also then have our apprentice and intern companies will be doing Love's Labour's Lost. And that's another beautiful comedy by Shakespeare. So,
yeah, amazing. Sounds like so many things to check out.
Yeah.
So people have told me as I've been here that the arts scene in Winona is a little newer, coming to prominence, it's a little bit newer. Do you think that the Great River Shakespeare Festival has had a hand in bringing that out? Or how do you think the festival being here has really affected Winona?
Yeah, well, I certainly hope the festival has had that kind of influence on it. But the truth of the matter is Winona has a long-standing tradition of the arts. I mean, you look at the banks downtown and they have Tiffany windows in them. You look at the houses and the woodwork and the stained glass industry that's been here for a long time, all of the many artists, the potter studios that are around. Like, Winona has had an art scene for a long time. I think when Great River was founded, it's big and it's prominent. It draws people from all over the region and it draws people from all over the country. So that gives a focus to it. And once people realized that that kind of thing could succeed in Winona, then the Beethoven Festival and the Frozen River Film Festival and the Minnesota Marine Art Museum, like all of those things came along afterwards. I do hope the festival had has a positive influence, but I don't think we invented anything that wasn't already here. I mean, Winona has really valued its arts for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So a question that I didn't have written down, but since we talked about it before, you said you do intimacy direction,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
So can you explain what that is? And does your work with that, do you do that at all in the productions for Great River, or is that a separate thing?
Yeah. So intimacy direction is pretty new in theater. It really only has existed for the last 15 years, but it's the last few years, especially with the Me Too movement, that it has that has come into prominence and lots of theaters are using it. So intimacy director deals with moments of intimacy on stage. So you would deal with everything from kissing to people falling in love all the way up to sex scenes and things like that, which, you know, is not part of what we do at Great River Shakespeare Festival. It can be at other theaters and is often part of what goes on in film and television. So there's two things you're working on. One is the choreography that you're trying to tell the story of those moments really clearly. And I think in the past, because we're a little embarrassed to talk about things like that, in the past when we've had moments of intimacy, often those stories don't get told clearly. A, because you don't have a specialist working on it, and B, because people are like, why don't you just kiss and then we'll just move on. So we don't really get specific about what that story is. And then the second piece of it is making sure that consent is in place, making sure that actors who come into their workplace, it's their job to perform what they're performing. So they need to be able to perform those scenes in a way that is safe for them psychologically and mentally. And they need to be able to make sure that they have consent for what it is that they're agreeing to do. And an intimacy director takes care of that. So we do have an intimacy director for Great River Shakespeare Festival. Tom Ringberg is our intimacy director, and he came in and worked on all of the productions. I'm trained as an intimacy director, but I actually can't be the intimacy director for Great River Shakespeare Festival because the power dynamic would be off. Part of the intimacy director's job is to be an advocate for the actors in the room, and it would be harder for people to say no to me because, you know, I'm the one that hired them. So we need somebody that is an outside advocate for them. But it's really catching on in a big way. I mean, one of my teachers is now the head of all film sets worldwide for HBO, that they have intimacy coordinators is what they call them in film, but they have that worldwide on all of their sets. But that's only within the last year that that's happened. The first Broadway show with an intimacy director just opened. The Guthrie just started using intimacy directors. But we actually here at Great River Shakespeare Festival, we are the first Shakespeare festival in the country to employ an intimacy director. So we're very much on the cutting edge of that.
Yeah, that's so, I mean, that's just so interesting to me. And I think that, you know, especially now more than ever, like that's so needed. And you're right that I'm sure people don't think about how you choreograph a kiss or anything, but it's probably, you know, such a big part of the story. So,
yeah. Well, there's a culture in theater too. There's very much this yes and culture where as a performer, you're expected to say yes to everything. And so it's very hard for people to say, you know what, I'm really not comfortable with that. And it's also easy to create the situation in the in performance where abuse is possible. And, you know, luckily we've never had that situation at Great River Shakespeare Festival. What we certainly see, you certainly see in other companies and in other places where that abuse has happened, where either people have agreed to things that they're not comfortable with, or someone who is in the situation takes advantage of being in that situation. And because the person is in front of the audience, there's not much they can do about it. If the choreography changes, if they decide to, you know, do something more than what was agreed upon. And frankly, it used to be that, you know, when you choreographed those intimate scenes, they weren't really choreographed. So when people were, you know, you're kissing, you're making out, you're doing whatever, you're not really acting because you don't know whether your scene partner is, you know, are they doing a little bit more today because that's the character, or are they just enjoying this moment, them personally? And it just opens up a lot of possibility for abuse and unclear storytelling. Much better if we can choreograph it, then we know what we're doing. Then everybody feels completely free within that choreography that they're doing, and we tell the story clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really positive thing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite memory from working on the festival over the past 16 years?
Oh, boy, that would be tough. You know, it is so much about the people that are here, both the people that are here in Winona and then the company that gets together every year. So, and there's so many times where we've gotten together. We, you know, we'll do a party every year at the Christensen's house. They have a big, beautiful house and a beautiful front porch, you know, and it's a time to get together with the community and just hang out with people and spend a summer evening. I know the company often gets together. Our entire company lives in the Eastlake Apartments, and our housing is right next to the American Legion. And the Legion has been so generous with us to stay open so that there's a bar right there where we can go after work and people can hang out together. And it's really those. I mean, it's really just those kind of simple moments of being able to hang out is probably my favorite memories from being here.
Yeah, absolutely. That just sounds so incredible. And then I think we touched on this a little bit at the very beginning, but, you know, what do you think is the secret to Shakespeare lasting all of these hundreds of years? You know, what makes them still so impactful to audiences?
Yeah, boy, that's such a good question. I think because Shakespeare was such a good observer of the human condition, that he really reflects a universal experience on stage, and we can all find ourselves in Shakespeare. When we do the plays well, they surprise us. We learn things about ourselves that we didn't know, and we find ourselves within them. We've had a big effort in the last few years for more diversity in the company. And it's been about not just making sure that there is, that we hire people with more diversity, but that we're really hearing the voices of everybody that's in the company, and that we hear a much wider range of voices. And the thing that it's really opened up is really how universal Shakespeare is, that when we start hearing hearing the voices of people whose experiences are, when I start hearing the experience of people whose voices are different than mine, I realized there are things that I had not seen in Shakespeare because I just wasn't asking those questions, or that just didn't match my experience. And it's that continual ability to be able to find ourselves over and over and over again as the world changes, as society changes, as new voices come in, that we just keep on finding more and more in those plays. I think that's what makes them last.
Yeah, absolutely. But I can definitely agree with that. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And there are so many productions that I can't wait to check out as a first timer. So.
Oh, great.
But
great.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for having me.
Inside Winona is a product of the Winona Daily News and the River Valley Media Group. We want to bring you great content like this every week, but we need your help. You can support Inside Winona by subscribing on your favorite podcast app. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and we're adding more each week. Better yet, consider becoming a Winona Daily News member. Whether you get the paper online or on your doorstep, your membership in the Winona Daily News supports local journalism. You can subscribe online in minutes by visiting winonadailynews.com/subscribe now.